Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 10, verses 11 to 16. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all of the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? This is the word of the Lord.
Chapter 10, and this is a passage of scripture I've spent a fair bit of time thinking about, and it's challenging to me in many ways, and I'm sorry to bring you challenge, you know, like in some ways, I'd like to just be able to give you wonderful, beautiful, peaceful, loving messages, but sometimes you read the scriptures and it brings a challenge, and so we will hear that challenge together today. I've been teaching all week long in a Korean Doctor of Ministry class through translation. And I'm just thinking how delightful it is right now to not have to wait for the translator, but just to be able to speak directly. And we trust God will speak through the words that I have to offer. When I think about preaching, here's a little thing. This is what I tell my students. I'm not really the preacher here today. I'm just facilitating. God is the preacher. God is the one who has the message that we hear. And I personally have had the privilege of listening for his voice to hear what he has to say. I had the privilege of a head start. So I got to listen first and to think about all of this. And having heard, now my privilege is to try to help you hear the same thing that I have heard. But we're all hearing together. We're all listening for the voice of God and by his Spirit and by his words. So this was already read to us, but just to focus it, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on the one they've not believed? How are they going to believe in the one they've not heard? How are they going to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they going to preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Lord, speak, we pray. As we just sang, we ask that you would speak by your Holy Spirit through your word, and that we would listen and hear and be responsive to what you're calling us to. We recognize there's challenge in these words for us this morning. We ask that you would help us to receive that challenge and to respond faithfully to whatever it is that you've called us to. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, they say that you can learn a lot about a person by looking at their hands. Have you heard that? You can learn a lot about a person just by looking at their hands. Now, I had two grandfathers. One of my grandfathers was a mechanic. He worked on engines. And if you looked at his hands, you could learn a lot about him. His hands were just encrusted with grease and grime and dirt. Not just on the surface of his hands, but deep down into the skin. I mean, it would take a month of hand washing for him to even begin to start to clean the evidence of his work. When I looked at his hands, I saw a man who knew how to work and knew how to make things go and to empower things. I loved that about him. My other grandfather was a carpenter. And similarly, you would look at his hands and see the evidence of his work. He had calluses, and he had scratches and scrapes and splinters. He built most of the older homes in Maple Ridge. If you were to go there today and find an old house, there's a very good chance that my grandfather built it. And I remember as a little boy watching him come home in his panel truck with the ladder along the side and all of the tools inside, and he would come in, and I would see his hands, his big, rough, strong, hardworking hands. And I thought that I learned something about my grandfather in that way. You can learn a lot about a person by looking at their hands. Now, me, I have these small, uncalloused, smooth preacher hands. Actually, I have one callus. It's right here under my ring. I think I got it from gripping the steering wheel too hard on the way to board meetings or something. It's a good thing for me that on the evidence of this passage, a preacher is not judged so much by his hands, but by his feet. Our Christian witness is not judged so much by our hands, but by the evidence of our feet. Followers of Jesus are feet first. Feet first. I think of this when I think about Jesus himself. Jesus, the one who truly had beautiful feet. This verse, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is a reference back to a passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 52. And it's a beautiful text. I heard some echoes of this text in one of the songs that we sang. Verse 3 says, thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. This is referring to a time when the people of God were in captivity, enslaved, and lacking their freedom. For thus, verse 4, for thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now, therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing. Their rulers wail, declares the Lord. And continually, all the day, my name is despised. You sang about the beautiful name of Jesus. The name all day long is despised in this culture, in this world. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. I love that. Publishes peace. Who brings good news of happiness. Who publishes salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. I imagine what it must have been like to be in that community, under oppression, enslaved, lacking freedom, people committed to a God whose name is slandered and despised as regular business in the world, and people who were working for the pleasure of others, people who were not free to express their own identity, their own community, their own faith, their own salvation, dreaming of the day. Dreaming of that beautiful day when that one would come down from the mountains to bring good news, to announce peace. That day, sometime in the future, when the one would come down from the mountain and publish the news of peace that our God reigns, our God brings salvation. And woe that day, when that day comes, that day we long for, when that day comes, he comes down off the mountain, he will come with beautiful feet. Amen. Beautiful feet. We can imagine it. We can see it. When I think of Jesus, who is the primary fulfillment of this prophecy, see, this text, he did come down from that mountain, and he did have beautiful feet. Okay. I don't know all of the implications of the use of this metaphor in this text, the feet. I don't fully understand what was in the mind of Paul when he wrote this to the Romans. But I have an imagination, and I can suggest some possibilities to you. First thing I want to make mention to you is, even though the word preach is recognized here in this passage, this is not just a passage for people like your pastor and myself. This is not just written for professional preachers. There's a sense in this text that what's being described here applies to every one of us, because we are all called to publish the gospel. We are all called to speak truth into the world. We are all called to bring good news, every single one of us, whether we do it for a living, you know, which is a weird thing, by the way, or whether we do it just as a person in the community who has love in their heart for those that we meet and encounter on the street and in our buildings, in our neighborhoods. We're all called to be preachers of the word in that sense. We're all called to have beautiful feet. What does that mean? Well, a few things that I might suggest. First thing I would suggest is that if following Jesus is feet first, if we're going to follow Jesus with our feet, that is always going to be intentional. Intentional. Following Jesus with your feet is intentional. I have never in my life used my feet by accident. You know what I mean? Like every single time I've used my feet, it's been with some sense of purpose, with intention. Like this morning, for example. I mean, when the alarm went off and I woke up this morning, every part of my body, including my feet, wanted to stay put. Are you with me on this? I did not want to get out of bed this morning, even though I knew I was going to have the opportunity to be with you. And I remembered the last time. I remembered how great it was. And I was, there was a part of me that wanted to be here, but I knew I was going to be here, I was going to have to use my feet. I was going to have to get out of bed, stand up on my feet, and put one of them in front of the other again and again and again until I found myself in this place here this morning. This did not happen by accident. This happened by intention. This was a choice that I made to use my feet to be with you here today. And it's always so. You're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to use your feet. That means you're going to have to make a choice. That means you're going to have to set yourself in motion. You're going to have to move. Stasis is not an option. To follow Jesus, you got to move with Jesus, because Jesus is in motion. You understand? Jesus was a traveler. He went from place to place, wherever there was, where there were people who needed to hear the good news. He came down from the mountain. and we want to follow him, we're going to have to come down with him. And this won't happen unless we choose it to happen, just like he chose to use his feet. Following Jesus with your feet is intentional. Following Jesus with your feet is incarnational. That's a heavy theological word. It means in the flesh. Sometimes we say that in English. I don't know any hockey fans here, any Canuck fans. Do you know the name Jim Robson? It used to be the broadcaster for the Canucks way back in the day. I saw Jim Robson in the flesh the other night. And that was kind of cool because I grew up listening to him on the radio. I saw him in the flesh. that means incarnationally. Like he was present where I was present, and I saw him physically. We talked theologically about Jesus and his incarnation. That means the God of heaven, you talked about this, the God of heaven took upon himself flesh and blood to live among us physically with an actual body, with feet and hands and mouths and everything else, but with feet. He was a physical being. And what that means is that God was not content to exist exclusively as a word. Okay? Now we understand that Jesus is the Word. Capital W. You know? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. At the beginning, this is Jesus. He was the Word. He was a message. Good news. That we just have to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and we will be saved. That's a word. That's a message. And that's good news. But verse 14, John 1, 14. The Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us so that we could see his glory. The glory of the one and only. The Word became flesh. Feet and everything. And what that means is he used his feet to be physically present with us by his intention. And that's the other thing I know about feet. When the ground is soft, when the ground is receptive, you make an impression with your feet. Right? Remember Jesus talked about the soils? And some soil is hard, and some soil's rocky, and some soil doesn't. But when the soil is soft, you come and you make what we call a footprint. You use your foot, you leave a mark, you make an impression. And that's the thing about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he made his mark. He left an impression, a footprint, you might say. Remember what they said? We've never heard anybody teach like this before. Like he speaks as one with authority. He makes a mark. He leaves a print. He makes an impression. Following Jesus' feet first means we've got to make a choice. We have to act with intention. It means we have to be incarnational. We have to be with people. Before we ever use our mouth, we're going to have to use our feet. You know, it's one thing to speak the word. It's another thing to live it, to show it, to be it in the presence of others, which is what Jesus did. We're going to have to use our mouths. But before we use our mouths, we have to use our feet. We've got good news. We've got real good news. Verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I know that's become a kind of a buzzword, saved. salvation. If we went out in the street right now and just gathered people up and talked to them, not very many of them would think of themselves in those terms. But I want to tell you, we all need to be saved because we're lost. Without the truth of the Word of God, without the person of Jesus, we're just floating around, trying to figure out life in our own way, trying to find our own purpose, trying to create our own sense of peace out of nothing. We need salvation. And we can have it. All we have to do is believe with our heart, it says, verse 9 and 10. Believe with our heart. Confess with our mouth. And we'll be saved. And that, my friends, is good news. That's the best news, the very best news the world has ever seen. That is gospel good. That is good, good news. But we have a problem. The problem is, all you got to do is believe and confess. You'll be saved. Yeah, but how are you going to believe in this if you've never heard of it? You can't believe in something you've never heard of. How are you going to hear about it unless somebody tells you? This isn't rocket science. Somebody's got to tell you. How is anybody going to tell you unless somebody feels motivated? Sent. Until somebody feels called enough to go and tell this truth. Well, folks, consider yourselves sent. As we go, we will show our beautiful feet. This is what following Jesus is about. Jesus is in motion. Jesus came down from heaven to establish his kingdom here on earth. He provided the opportunity for our salvation. He is continuing to build his kingdom God is building his kingdom in his world on earth as it is in heaven. And he wants to take us with him. He wants us to follow him. And we will do it with our feet. I will confess to you that if I had written this passage, I'm not sure I would have written it this way. For a couple of reasons. First of all, I wouldn't have thought of it. And secondly, if I had thought of it, it would have been too hard. And I wouldn't want to have said it. I'm just being honest here. I would have said, and when I read this, it is a bit surprising. I would have written it, how beautiful is the mouth of the one who brings good news, right? Because I can handle that. How beautiful is the tongue of the one who brings good news? How beautiful is the throat even of the one? Or as we sing, how beautiful are the lips of the one who brings good news? See, I would have been all right with that because you may have figured this out already about me. I'm pretty good with my tongue and with my mouth. I can speak, right? And I mean, there's a certain vulnerability about speaking. You say something, you're accountable. I get that, and that's hard enough. But I've come to terms with that. I can speak. But here's the thing about speaking, especially these days. You can speak in such a way that allows you to keep your distance. You know? I mean, we have microphones and things like that, so I can stand back here. And you can still hear me, you know. We have the internet, so I can put stuff out there and not be at all accountable in any kind of physical way, you know. I mean, yeah, maybe people will get mad at me online, but who really cares? But if I use my feet, now I'm risking something. You understand? I use my feet. Now we're present to each other at close range. And that requires a different level of vulnerability. And it's hard. But you know, like, we can't just hoard this message for ourselves. We got to be present to people. And if we're going to follow Jesus, that's what it looks like. That's what it means. We have to use our feet, just like Jesus did. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that Jesus was willing to use his feet. Aren't you? That he was willing to come down off that mountain so that we could actually not just be told about God, not just be told about his kingdom, but that we could have access to it. Like, you think about that. Like God could have just kind of sent the Bible, you know, or just kind of sent the information. But he did more than that. He sent his only son. He used his feet. Our knowledge of God, as a result, is not just conceptual. It's not just information. It's personal. It's relational. We can know God because he came to us and lived with us. And then we took him and put him on a cross and put nails through those beautiful feet. But by that act, he won our salvation. He made possible our freedom. He established the kingdom, which we are privileged to be a part of, because he was willing to use his feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using your feet. Make us willing, Lord, to do the same. I would have liked to have seen Paul's feet. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote this text, I suspect he had beautiful feet. Swollen and calloused. Blistered and reddened and sweaty. Beautiful feet. Because there wasn't a place that was known in the world at that time that Paul's feet did not take him. To Turkey, to Spain, to Greece, to Jerusalem, to Athens, to Berea, to Ephesus, Thessalonica, Philippi, anywhere. There were people who needed to know that all they had to do was call on the name of the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they'd be saved. Somebody had to tell them. Somebody had to go. Somebody had to be sent. Paul was sent. Paul himself had beautiful feet. I'm going to be in... next week I'm going to be in South America. And I've been in Colombia several times now, and I get to go back and teach and encourage a group of young leaders who are emerging there for the church. And I'm looking forward to that. But every time I go down there, I think about the Christians who first came there with the gospel. like people that I knew. When I was a little boy, I can remember 4 years old, and this couple, they were pretty young at the time. They were probably like about 30 years old. Now they'd be less than that. They're probably 25 years old. I was about 4 years old. And they came to stay in my home with my parents that invited them. And they were just back from Colombia. They were from British Columbia, but they had given their lives to go to Colombia to bring the good news of the gospel. And I could name several people like that I know that went down there so that when I go next week, there's a church there. A church that preaches the gospel. Many churches that know the good news. Those people that stayed in our home, they had beautiful feet. I don't know this history quite so well. You know it very well, but the history of those who first went to China to bring the good news of the gospel. That all you had to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that message has changed the world. And now there are people all over China who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have gone out all over the world and shared that message. People with beautiful feet. I sometimes tell my students, I'm joking, of course, but I tell my students that in classes on preaching, I'll tell them that we're not going to have a final exam. We're not going to write any papers. We're not going to do any assignments. And they all go, really? And I say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have everybody put their feet up on the table, and we're going to take our shoes and socks off, and I'm going to come and have a look, and the ones with the beautiful feet get the A's. And of course I'm joking, but I wish I wasn't, because that's what it's all about, right? I mean, not physically so much, but that we understand this principle. And as I said before, this is not just for people like me who you could say, as weird as this is, but who preach professionally. I understand the weirdness of that. But it's for all of us who've been privileged to understand this powerful truth and are willing to take it to others. We're going to have to use our feet. We're going to have to show up. We're going to have to be present. Are you willing? There's some places you don't want to go, right? There's some places your feet will take you that you're going, ooh, I don't know. But God's kingdom spreads as God's people use their feet. So I'm asking you today, I don't know you very well. I told you I was going to bring a challenge. Here's the challenge. I'm asking you today to listen to the word and to listen to the Holy Spirit and to see what he might be saying to you about how you might use your feet. You got to use it. Before you use your tongue, you got to be able to use your feet. Are you willing? Are you willing? Lord, we're so glad that you were willing to use your feet. That you took upon yourself flesh and blood by intentional choice, not by accident. You chose this. Because of that choice, you have made your impression on the world. You have won the opportunity for our salvation. You have established your kingdom that is coming and will come and has already come. And Lord, we want to see that kingdom grow and spread by the testimony of our lips and the testimony of our feet. We recognize that before we use our mouths, we're going to have to use our feet. So give us the courage to do it. It's going to take courage. And Lord, I don't know exactly what that means for each individual here. I have a pretty good idea what it means for me. Keep showing me. But keep showing each one here in this room, Lord, what it means for us to use our feet. Literally, Lord, and metaphorically and spiritually, what it means for us to put ourselves in motion so that we literally follow you as you see your kingdom come. Lord, give us the courage, the insight, the willingness, and we look forward to seeing what you will do as we follow you feet first. In Jesus' name, amen.